This is 105 Breakfast. Cambridge 105. There you go, Nick. Good choice from the Arrival album. That's ABBA. And Tiger. Okay, there's so many ABBA tracks you don't hear. That's the thing. Just because of Mamma Mia.
I've never heard of that.
No, no, you need to get the albums, not just the greatest hits. There we are. Anyway, it's 12 minutes past 8, or 13 minutes past 8 now. It's Cambridge 105 with Lottie and Neil. And we're joined in the studio this morning by Lisa Thompson. Lisa from Royston in Blue. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, talk us through what Royston in Blue is and what it's all about.
Royston in Blue is a charity run. It originally started about 6-7 years ago. Mainly, it was originally called the Pink Ribbon Run Walk. And we raised money over the years for cancer research and Marie Curie, and then a lot of the committee at the time, obviously other commitments, decided that they couldn't carry on. Mm-hmm. I was talked into carrying on with Royston in Blue, and obviously we had to change the name to reflect Teenage Cancer Trust.
Right, that's their colour, is it?
Yes, so, okay. Yes, so we started first year last year with a new committee. I've got 7 lovely committee members. We all work full time, but obviously, and we've got families, but we obviously are very committed to doing this race once a year, and obviously Teenage Cancer Trust, and we want to raise some, you know, last year we did 26,000.
Wow.
So we hope to beat that this year, and over 800 runners. And I'd love to be able to get to 1,000 this year with over 30,000 raised if we can do it.
But that's a massive amount of organising. Yeah. You can't have a body of 1,000 people running around on the hills and on the heath without an awful lot of organisation and control, can
no,
you?
No, so we have great support from local schools, Meridian and Freeman. They always turn up on the day with their sports leaders. We also have great support from Royston Runners, as just general volunteers come along and help on the day. And it all runs, I mean, it is quite sort of stressful first thing in the morning.
We're up imagine?
There at 6 o'clock in the morning, myself and my husband Guy and Andrea and Vanessa, and that, setting the course up, which takes about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then obviously 11 o'clock the race starts. It's a big build up with a warm up and everything. So race starts at 11, and then I have my emotional moment when I see the wave of blue go across the heath. So
I can imagine.
So
that must
fantastic.
Be very satisfying. What is it about Teenage Cancer Trust that's made you decide to support it for a second year?
To me, I was very shocked personally, speaking from a personal point of view, that 6 teenagers a day are diagnosed with cancer.
Good Lord.
And obviously, you know, having 2 teenage children myself, it sort of brought home. But it's also the East Anglia region with Helen, Laura and Judith. They are so fantastic in helping us, you know, organise this event. If there's anything we're stuck on, they will help us with it. We've got support there from there. So, yeah. You know, it's a good support network from them. And obviously I had the opportunity about just over a year ago to go and see the ward just before it opened. And it is fantastic. And, you know, to obviously see those teenagers, what they're going through, but they're in an environment where they've, you know, there's 11 beds there with all IT network hookup. There's games, consoles, there's a jukebox there, there's a porta. So they're in sort of a teenage environment.
Zone.
Yeah, so yeah. For them it's fantastic. So, you know, and, you know, it just hit a personal note with me, and that's why I've carried on, you know, doing it. And as I say, all the rest of the committee are fully focused on it. We all have our little bits that we do. And we'll come together. We've got another meeting tonight, actually, to obviously go through and see where we're at to, you know, obviously get the organisation going.
OK, is it looking, it's shaping up well for this year? I guess the weather's always a concern, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, actually, the first year, because I took over as chairman this year, every year previous, the weather has been absolutely brilliant. This year, or last year, absolutely threw it down with rain as soon as the race started, but after that, but everyone just carried on. I mean, the atmosphere was brilliant.
Yeah, there is that plucky Brit that kicks in at that point where everyone goes, do you know what, it's raining, who cares.
Yeah, when the weather's like that, it just brings everyone together more, doesn't it?
Yeah,
group and
but,
get on with it.
But no, it was absolutely fantastic day. And I mean, we're also very fortunate we get the support of local companies, because it costs us about £6,000 to run the event. So we try to and we did this last year, we get local sponsorship from companies to actually run the event. So obviously all entry money, all sponsor money goes straight to the charity.
That's fantastic. All right. OK, look, we'll take a break because we're a little bit pushed on time. We'll take a break for the travel news and we'll come back and talk about how people can actually get involved in this year's one, because it's coming up. It's on the 23rd of June, I'm right in saying?
That's right, yes.
All right, we'll find out. We'll take a break. It's 8:17. Okay, major routes first of all. Just a couple of things to watch out for. A14 eastbound out around Junction 36. There's a broken down lorry there between Junction 36, which is 9 Mile Hill, and Junction... You're listening to Cambridge 105. It's 24 minutes past 8. Lisa Thompson from Royston in Blue is in the studio with us talking about their 5K fun run. 5K is not too bad, is it really, Lisa? It's doable, isn't it?
No, it is doable. I mean, it is a bit hilly in places, obviously, because we're on the heath, but no, it's doable. I mean, we have lots of young children in it, and we have said this year, because we did notice we had a few requests, and if the younger children can't do the 5K, they can just do
one
lap of it.
Abandon them to one side.
They'll still get their goodie bag and their medal at the end, so that's what we said.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so talk us through who can take part and how they get involved.
Anybody can take part, you know, whether you're 1 year old or 85, you know, at the end of the day, we want to raise money for this fantastic charity. You can go onto our website. We have a website now, www.roystoninblue.co.uk.
I'm looking at it now. It's very
exciting on there.
And you can download the entry form from there. We're also going to actually put the sponsor form up as well, so people can start getting sponsors in already, because we're still in the process of negotiating with T-shirts at the moment. So they will be out.
And they're pretty as well. Yes. They look like a sea of forget-me-nots.
Yeah, so... and then if not, we are putting various entry forms around the town in Royston. We are going obviously to aim towards Cambridge, and we will be, as we've already said, at the Grand Arcade on Saturday. We'll be there all day, so if you want to enter there, you can do that. We're also doing a group rate as well, because we had quite a few groups. If you want to dress up, all in blue, fun event. I always said when I took this event over, it's fundraising, and that's what it's all about, having fun.
It does,
and doing it for
a
good cause.
It does. It's the only
way
to do it.
Everyone's face painted up and smiling and just having a really good time together for a good cause. So.
Okay. Now, I'm just looking at the details here on the website. It's Sunday the 23rd of June. Mm-hmm. Events get underway at 10:30 in the morning with an aerobic warm-up. That's a good... Because people have got to watch it. I mean, as you say, it is slightly hilly, so you do want to make sure you don't damage yourself, pull a muscle. So this aerobic warm-up sounds like a good idea.
Yes, it is. I'm not actually taking that. A couple of ladies in the past that have come in totally voluntarily and come in and do it for us, so that's good. So we get everybody warmed up at 10:30 and then move towards the start line for about 11 o'clock just before, and then off we go. So it's going to be a great day, and like I say, I would love to be able to get the 1,000 people enter this year. It would be absolutely fantastic. And if we could raise over 30,000 this year, that would be brilliant.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? So just to recap, last year you raised £26,000. Yes. This was the Teenage Cancer Trust ward at Addenbrookes Hospital.
Yes.
So we're talking local again, aren't we?
Yes,
This is the good thing.
So, and if not, it goes into the East Anglia region anyway, so it all stays local for them. So, you know, if we can do that, I'll be... Happy.
You sound very determined to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Very determined, you know. So, and as I say, I've got a fantastic committee. I mean, without them, none of this would go ahead. I mean, they are, and everybody's got their special something, you know. But one person, Kat, is very good with the PR. Kate does all the finances, and I just sort of sit there and say, yeah, that's good. So,
yeah, but it needs someone to do that.
Yeah,
needs someone to go, yeah, that's fine.
But no, it's, you know, that's how it works. So, you know, we've got a good band of people on board to organise the event.
So we're looking for people to take part in the run.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking for corporate sponsors.
We're still looking for sponsors for this. I think we're between £500,000 short. We're not that far off it. I'm not sure, because but, you know, any company can help sponsor. Obviously, we've said to people that the larger sponsors get their logo on the back of the T-shirt. So, and there's obviously various bits in papers and everything to say that. And obviously, there's the opportunity for the companies to come up on the day and speak to people and ask them why they're running. You know, we have a sponsorship area, so people can go and talk to them and ask them why they've sponsored the event. And they can obviously get back from race entries why they've done this event. So.
It is. It's good PR from their point of view. It's all local stuff, isn't it? So, I'm sure it's going to be very good. You're looking at me as if to say, come on then.
We're doing it.
I think you should both take part.
I think we should. This is totally our thing. Everyone's got blue faces. And they've got nice coloured T-shirts. It'll be fun.
This is 2 weeks after. This is 2 weeks after the one we're supposed to be, the 9 mile one we're supposed to be doing.
That'll be a warm-up,
I won't be out of hospital by then. I'll start barely out of intensive care.
You'll be fine. Oh, right. Won't he? Yes.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, okay. Do you know what?
I think we should do as many as we can.
Hang on.
I'm checking
my file of facts. Hang on.
He hasn't got a life, Lisa, don't worry. He'll be fine, he'll be
You're
there.
You're free.
Do you know what? I flipping am.
Yay!
I've got entry forms here, so
fantastic.
I come prepared.
We'll take
so
a couple of those, see?
Yeah, yeah.
She's okay. On the ball.
Okay, and we have got our outfit lined up, haven't we?
Are we going to... Well, exactly. We'll recycle the outfit.
We can just punch it along again.
Yeah, yeah,
great. Okay. All right, so, all right. If you want a chance to see two people make fools of themselves as part... This is a run, though, Booth. This is a
run.
No,
you can walk it. You don't have to run. You
walk
can walk.
Slash run.
You've met her. You've seen how competitive she is. Does she look like she's going to walk these small children that she's going to be batting out the way? Come on, out the way.
If they're in the way.
Only the strong survive. Come on.
You'll be surprised how fast some of them can go. They outrun me one year.
Yeah, I think. All right, well, we'll keep in touch, Lisa, on this one. If people have got questions, want to get in touch with you, if they've got questions to ask, is there an email address they can get a hold of you on?
Yeah, all the details are on the website, and there's also my mobile number. So if anybody wants to ring me, or if there's any companies out there that want to sponsor, get in touch, and I'll gladly help.
So this is Royston in Blue, BLUE, .co.uk is the website. Royston, all one word, RoystonInBlue.co.uk. The event takes place Sunday, 23rd of June at 10:30 on Thurfield Heath, just outside Royston. The weather is booked. So it'll be fine. It's going to be lovely. Or I may have to take a brolly with me.
Well, yeah, you can just use it as a parastel outfit.
Is that right? Nice, so. My Mary Poppins look.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll probably be there by the sound of it.
Lovely.
How's that feel to it? All to raise money for the Teenage Cancer Trust ward at Addenbrooke Hospital. Lisa, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
We'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Sounds like we'll see you on the day, if not before, then.
Yes, I'll watch you run round.
And you're at the Grand Arcade on Saturday.
Yeah,
you've got the stand there all day Saturday. So if people have got questions or want to sign up, pick up entry forms, pick up sponsorship, they can do that there.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yep, yep.
Lisa,
wonderful.
Thanks
you
very much.
It's 29 minutes before 9. 6 minutes past 8, it's Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Lottie and Neil through till 9:30. On the subject of buildings, he said, cheesily.
Yeah.
If you've been down around the top of Hills Road, Cherry Hinton Road lately, opposite Clifton Way and where all the Cineworld and everything is, you'll have noticed that that dreadful old Jeep dealership's long gone. It was a pile of rubble for a couple of years, but now the biggest residential building in Cambridge is being constructed. And I'm joined today by Rachel Carroll from Almaren, who are the developers. Rachel, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Up
early, I understand.
Yes, indeed. Too early for me.
You'll be fine. Tell us what's going on down there, because there's hoardings and placards, and there's hints of what's coming on the hoardings.
Yes.
But what's the mark?
Indeed, yes. It's a really exciting new residential building in what's going to be a real big focus for regeneration in the city. So the mark, as you said, is the tallest residential building in Cambridge, and it's going to be 92 luxury apartments.
Wow.
The tallest of which is going to be beautiful, a three-story penthouse, which is really going to be the jewel in the crown. It's about 3,000 square foot, and it's going to have...
That's a full-size house.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
And a double garage.
Yep, and if you can just imagine at that height, the views over this city are going to be incredible.
Because the height of this thing is higher than King's College Chapel, taller than King's
That's
College
right,
Chapel.
Yeah.
So you are going to get, as you say, a fairly unrestricted view across
Absolutely.
The city, aren't you?
Yeah.
From a real vantage point.
Mm,
wow.
It's going to be great. Hmm. And the building itself is just stunning. It's it was originally a design that came out of the University of Cambridge, out of the architecture department. It was actually an open design competition many years ago. And it's gone through a few iterations. But what you see right now is really just the skeleton of the building. And so it's just a bit of an uninteresting kind of grey concrete block. But eventually it's going to have a sculptural piece that's actually going to be fused onto the building structure. And it's this what really inspired us when we came to thinking about what we want to do in terms of the public art for the development.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm looking at the website, and if anyone else is just sitting there with their iPads or anything and wants to check out, it's themark, MARQUE-Cambridge.com. It's pretty, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
And in a way, it kind of picks up on the look of the new fire station and around there. It's kind of a similar thing, but nothing like it at all, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it picks up on a theme, doesn't it?
I think
it?
That's purposeful. I mean, obviously, there's an independent process that you go through so that planners are actually coordinating how the city evolves over time. So we haven't yet confirmed what that material will be, but it's likely to be some kind of natural stone.
Wow. Now, you've been working with Hills Road Sixth Form College on all of this as well. There's been a real
yes,
education yep. project. Tell us what's been going on there.
Okay, so when we come to do the public art, it's a two-stage process. So first of all, we go through what's called a public art consultation process. So we shortlisted the artist's proposals down to three proposals and invited members of the general public to actually come in and give us their feedback on what they liked, what they didn't like, etc. And so Jennifer T, who I believe is joining you in a few moments, mm-hmm. her proposal really stood out, and we had some excellent feedback for her designs. So we took that forward to an art review panel, and the panel consisted of ourselves, the developer, the county council, Kettle's Yard, local residence groups, and also the Hills Road Sixth Form College, who I have to say really put me through my paces.
Really?
Yes, a really bright group of young people, amazing to work with. And actually that also inspired us to do more work with the Hills Road Sixth Form College. So we're actually going to be looking at doing, over the summer, masterclasses with them, where we invite artists in to work with the art students so that they can actually develop their designs and take them forward over time to independent review panels and potentially look to doing their own regeneration around the city. So we're going to be focusing on that square, the Cambridge Leisure Square, and potentially doing something along that those lines with the school.
It sounds fantastic, because Cambridge, I mean, as someone who's not a resident originally from Cambridge, I've only lived here 12 years, so I think as a foreigner, as an outsider, I can say this city has been blighted by some atrocious planning decisions back in the 60s and 70s. They've taken some classic bits of Cambridge and ruined it. And what strikes me is there does seem to be a bit more of a desire to make it a little bit of it's a challenging place, Cambridge, isn't it? Art-wise, installation-wise, I mean, there's the locust clock and all that. Yeah, we're good on quirky in Cambridge, and we're good on different, and we're good on unusual, and there is a feel to Cambridge, and it sounds to me like you've captured that with this, that it's going to be something that's going to be regarded over the years rather than...
Yeah, and it was very important to us that we chose a very enduring design that was going to last over a period of time, and that was the whole purpose of the mark in itself. We really feel it's going to lift that whole area. It's a very elegant, sophisticated design. And I think it's really going to be additive to the local residents and to the whole city.
Can't wait to see what's going to come up. So tell us again about this building. It's 92 flats.
92 flats, 9 stories high, a 3-story penthouse at the top. It's going to have private gardens. There's going to be a public atrium on the first floor. There'll be shops along the frontage on Hills Road. And we're due for completion at the beginning of next year.
And are they all sold, or?
We're getting there, actually. It's been pretty fast paced. If anyone is interested, Savills are our selling agent on Hills Road. They've been doing a fantastic job. So please feel free to contact them about availability.
Okay, I just get the impression it's not going to be quite in my price range, but there we are. I'm looking again at the pictures here, and it does fit in well with both the junction, or the Cambridge Junction as it's now called, and all this sort of stuff. So in terms of the shops, are you controlling what goes in there?
Absolutely, yeah. And we've already had several offers, but we wanted to make sure that it's in keeping with the whole experience of the building as well. So we'll be quite selective.
Okay, I'm not sure you did mention it. When's completion due?
The beginning of next year.
So it's still a lot to go. So if you are driving by and, you just see basically this sort of steel frame, grey sort of steel frame, it's
still a lot to go. Next milestone to look out for is in June. We hope to open a show flat, which is actually, even though we've got a lot of construction to do, we'll actually kit out one flat, we'll furnish it so that people can actually go in and just get a flavour of what it's going to be like to live in the building. So that will be later on in June. So we'll do a lot of public publicity up until the opening of the show flat, and people are welcome to come in and have a nose.
Sounds marvellous. Lottie, you see, now you're looking to move, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford that either.
I don't know, it might be nice.
Maybe.
Yeah, have a bit of a whip round. We could do an appeal.
Oh, thanks.
We could do an appeal for you. We've got the Syrian disaster emergency. We can have the Mill Road disaster emergency committee, couldn't
Thank
we?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Now, so the artist that you chose was Jennifer T, as you say. Now, she's from Holland, am I right in saying?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and Jennifer will be joining us after the travel news and a piece of music. We'll be talking about just what it is that's going to be this installation art on the corner of Top of Hills Road, Cherry Hinton Road, at The Mark. And remember that website, The Mark, if you want to check it out now, The Mark, MARQUE-Cambridge.com. Brings the time to 14 minutes past 8. Let's see how we're doing out there on those major routes, shall we? They said Mill Road was closed earlier. I don't believe them, so I'm just going to ignore that. We've got no... Here we go.
I like this.
What? 10cc?
Yeah.
For art's sake.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's 8:21. You're listening to Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Lottie and Neil. And I've got a plethora of lovely ladies in the studio today, so it's good.
There's so many women
here.
It's
a tough job, but someone's got to do
it. So nice, girls. Seriously, it's lovely.
Yeah. Messages coming in.
Yes, Greg has said, how would they feel about a transmitter mask for a community radio on top?
That's a good idea.
Serious question, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon we could do that. We have offered them an outside broadcast, Greg, when it's launched. We have said we'll come down. We'll come down and OB it. That'd be good. Okay, so we had Rachel there from Almaran, who are the developers of the Mark at the junction of Hills Road, Cherry Hinton Road, where the old Jeep dealership used to be. And as she said, there's been a big, fierce competition underway for the installation art. We're joined in the studio now by Jennifer T. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you're from Holland, and I've looked at your website. My goodness, you've done a lot of work.
I did.
Tell us about yourself.
I live in Amsterdam. I've had my practice for about 15 years, I think. And my work is mainly sculptural installations, often in gallery spaces or museums. And I do a little bit of commissioned work, public art as well.
And how did you hear about this?
I was contacted by a Future City who I think was consulted on the art for the Mark.
Okay, and what sort of process did you go through? Because obviously you're the one who won, so there's something about what you did and how you looked at it that attracted the judges.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that I won the competition. I think I was contacted, I think, in November, and so the commission, they describe a little bit the building and what they're looking for, and then as an artist you're responding to that. So you have a couple of months to start designing and thinking about your ideas, and then you propose.
And did you just start with a blank piece of paper and sort of draw the shape of a building?
It's always in the beginning a little nerve-wracking, because you don't know if you're going to be, you know, coming up with something that would be interesting for the building, in this case a building, and it's also it has to fit within your own practice as well. I mean, you can have wonderful ideas, but if it has to make sense within your own work.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with a sculpture, something that's going to be in a public space, presumably you've got sort of some health and safety concerns. It's got to be, it's not going to fall on someone's head or anything,
exactly.
Has it?
Exactly, so that's those are the things that make it extra complicated, because if you have a show in a museum or a gallery, usually it's up for a month or 3 months or half a year, and it's an indoor space, and now you have to consider the weather, and it has to be out for maybe 30 years in this case, and of course there's the public that can interact with the work, so you have to consider these elements.
Sure. Now, as I said earlier, Cambridge is quite good on quirky, different. We do the unusual quite well in Cambridge. In fact, I think we probably put ourselves out to do that. I think it's fair to say. So, any hints as to what we're like? I appreciate this is a big secret. I appreciate there's going to be an unveiling, but are there any hints as to what we're going to get?
Well, I think it has to do a little bit with unveiling. It's actually, I was interested in the veil that's wrapped around the building.
Right.
I think that was one of the things that I thought was most eye-catching about the building, that it has this beautiful shape in front of sort of white, modernistic-looking form. And I was just thinking I wanted to go with that main feature and thinking about what is the identity of this area, of this building, and not being from Cambridge, also thinking about what is the history of Cambridge. And I think what I knew mostly is that it's an old university city.
Sure.
But on the other hand, it's also a very innovative and known for technology, so I wanted to combine these two things, and at the same time I did want to have a sort of a sculptural approach to the building, so I've been proposing that I wanted to approach it as a living screen, a folding screen that you could have in your building, you know, to divide two rooms, for instance. Yeah, those folding screens came from China originally, and they were used in a space as a furniture piece, but they also often had imagery of palace life or nature depicted on them. And so I was approaching this screen in front of the building as a big folding screen, and I'm attaching these lively elements that partly can tell the story of Cambridge. I'm going to use imagery from the herbarium. The herbarium is the large archive of plants and flower images that they collect over centuries already. And for instance, Darwin, on his beagle voyage, collected a lot of plants and images, and those are pressed onto sheets.
Wow.
I think I'm going to use these images on the panels that I'm I want to work with.
This sounds really... I don't know about you, Lottie, but I kind of imagined a 17-foot snake's head, didn't you?
Possibly.
When someone says installation art to me, usually it starts with a 17-foot snake's head or something. So, and we've been reassured that we're not getting one of those. So this sounds really quite... Yeah, it does sound like a very... As you say, you've picked upon the education and the historic and the university side of the city, but also as you say, it's going to be different. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I was also thinking about, because it's a residential building, so it's people that are living in there, but and on the same time there's this little square in front of the building, and I was missing sort of an element of a feeling of a park or of plants or leaves and so I also thought that this kind of imagery would also connect the people inside and outside.
Sure. Okay, so the announcement's been made. It was announced yesterday that you were the winner, the one chosen. How far down the road are you, or is that it now? You've got to crack on and get this done.
Well, so yeah, so first it is a proposal, and then you have to work towards sort of bringing this idea to a next stage, which would be thinking about these things that I just told you about, you know, how could this art piece survive over years, what kind of material choices. Yeah. And for instance, today I will have a visit at the herbarium, mm-hmm. and the curator there, she will show me around and show me the material that they have. So that will be, I think, a big step in the design for me.
So it's still very much, it's a concept then at the moment, and the actual final product is going to be up to tweaking and change.
Yeah.
Who gets the final word on it? Do you get the final word?
Ideally, yes.
Very good. Okay, and so this all, it all opens next year. Will it be ready by then?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's the idea, that the building and also my ideas, they will develop on the same track.
It sounds very exciting. I'm going to give out your website address as well, if that's okay, Jenny. I've got it as TTT. Is that right? .nl?
Yeah.
Okay, and that T is TEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEE. Okay, that's Jennifer T is the artist. If you go there, you can see all the sort of stuff she's done. And it is a very wide range that you've done. It's fascinating stuff. And really, there's no clues there. No, by the sound of it, no clues as to what we're going to get. I've been clicking around. Judged by what you said, okay, well, I can't see any clues. I don't think you're going to be drawing on past work, put it that way. It sounds like it's going to be something very new and exciting. So keep us posted. If there's stuff coming up and you're doing announcements, do please let us know, and we'll post it on the Cambridge 105 website as well. Jennifer, good luck with it.
Thank you.
You better get and do some work now. You've got a bit of a deadline now. It sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I'm meeting with the constructors also.
Oh, blimey. Good luck with that. Yeah. Construction people and planning, good luck. there we go. So that's Jennifer T. She's been chosen to do the public art on The Mark, which is going at the top of Hills Road, junction with Cherry Hinton Road. So you can check out The Mark, MARQUE-Cambridge.com, if you want to see about the building, and www.TTT, that's TEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEE 7 minutes past 8, Thursday morning, Cambridge 105. Breakfast with Neil and Julie through till 9:30, playing Sky and Westway. And Nick's been on. He says, morning, Neil and Julie. Nice to hear you back, Julie. How are you?
Morning, Nick. Yes, I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Need a little chat with him, do you? Catch up on anything?
Perhaps a bit later.
Okay, fine. So what happened to the booth then? Didn't an alarm go off? No Lottie for the next couple of days. Those of you who've been listening during the week will know she's not had a very good time lately. Problems with the flat, with leaks and everything. And basically, it's all got a little bit too much for the poor girl, what with that and the huge amount of driving she has to do during a day. So Lottie's taking a couple of days off to get it all sorted. Nice, easy weekend, and all being well, she should be back on Monday. But, you know, I've said to her, look, you just get it sorted, come back when you're ready.
A well-deserved rest, I think.
It is. She's a very, very, very dedicated girl. She's always here. She's always here first in the mornings.
Yes.
And she does an awful lot of driving in Blanche, which, as you all know, is not exactly the most powerful car God ever made. So,
is it fair to call it a jalopy?
You can do that if you want.
Sorry, Lottie, but
yeah.
My car's a jalopy too.
Not compared to Blanche. Anyway, there we go. So hopefully Lottie will be back in a couple of days. If you're listening, then just take it nice and gentle. We'll come back when you're ready. But we're joined in the studio this morning by Julie and by Dr. Mike Adelsey. Mike, very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning to you.
Now, you're from the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra.
That's correct.
I'm a bit keen on guitar here because I've only just...
I understand you are.
I've
just taken it up.
Yeah, I did a little tiny bit when I was like 15, 16 on a guitar with a bowed neck and the strings were about half an inch off the fretboard.
Yes, Very hard work.
It was impossible. And of course, you know, as you probably remember back to the decades ago when you first started, you know, your fingers are soft and everything. It really hurt. Yeah, it and so I gave up. And 38 years later, I decided it was probably a good idea to pick it up again.
Well, there's never a better time to start than now.
Well, that's true. So, that's true. And it's great fun, but just learning
really
to strum.
It's really good fun. Part of the reason the guitar orchestra was set up was to promote guitar playing in the Cambridge area. It was set up back in 1991 by two local guitar teachers, Chris Kilvington and Lorraine Eastwood, and they wanted to get more people playing together.
Yeah.
So that,
it does help, doesn't it? You sort of feed
really
off each
other.
It really
does, yes. It's a very special thing as well.
How did you get involved? What's your personal line on guitar?
Well, I finished my PhD in 91, actually.
Oh, right.
And I decided to learn to play guitar. I'd been, as you said, strumming guitar just as a teenager. And I thought, I really would like to learn how to play classical guitar properly. So I joined an evening class. There was a very good one going on in Melbourne, and I've been playing ever since. I joined the orchestra in 2005 after Peter Ruffer, the musical director, said I was about the right level now. So
I was going to say, presumably it's quite a leap of faith, isn't it, to join an orchestra? It's all very well sort of strumming and playing in the privacy of your own home or in a small group, but suddenly to be part of an orchestra, that must be a huge leap.
It is. I sort of eased into it by attending the Dillington Music School, which Peter runs, which is later, it's towards the end of the year, it's a week of guitar playing. Where you get a chance to play in ensemble, and that was a really good introduction for me. And then, you know, I found out about the orchestra, and he said, come along, have a go.
The word orchestra, to me, would always mean that, okay, if you take a traditional orchestra, you've got strings, you've got woodwind, you've got percussion.
Yes.
How is a guitar orchestra made up? What sort of different types? Presumably there are different types of guitars playing different bits.
Exactly. It's all guitars, all classical guitars.
Right.
That is, you know, your sort of traditional Spanish guitar, Torres design with nylon strings and steel-wound lower strings. I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
Structure of, you've got all Spanish guitars.
Yeah, so there's different pitch ranges that you need to try and cover.
Right.
So one of the things is that the music that we play is adapted from, say, piano pieces or you know, proper orchestra, full orchestra pieces.
Yeah.
And you have to cover the extended range of pitch. So we have a number of other guitars in the orchestra, like a terz guitar, which is tuned higher. That's the one that Peter plays. But he's also got extended bass strings, so he's got a 9-string guitar, as if six isn't
nine.
Enough.
Nine?
He's
my
got
goodness.
9 strings, extended bass range. But we also have bass and baritone guitars to cover the lower end of pitch.
So are there any electric guitars, or is it just all acoustic?
Yes, occasionally we've done pieces with electric and electric bass as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we do some sort of modern, more jazz-like pieces, Pat Metheny type stuff.
I was going to say, I was looking through your repertoire here, and I mean, there's all the usual suspects, the Ravels and that sort of stuff. But then, as you say, as Jude just said, apart from Benjamin Britten and things, suddenly you're looking at Pat Metheny, Michel Legrand, people like that.
Yes, beautiful pieces.
Yeah, and it's chosen for the music, not, oh, we can't touch this. It's not like a sort of a bit where you, it's not a sort of snob element where you say, we can't do that. I mean, there's Jimmy Page on here.
That's a tremendous piece. Really,
Beck's Bolero.
The orchestra can really get into that, and it's a fantastic sound when you hear the full orchestra going, and it's just beautiful.
Amazing as well that people who are sort of just traditionally known as being pop and rock guitarists, that actually there's this other side to them, isn't there, where they take the instrument and the music far more seriously than actually perhaps they're given credit for, and they're sitting doing this sort of stuff. How do you approach learning a piece? Is it easy?
Very straightforward, really. You try to not try and do too much in one go, concentrate on a few bars at a time and try and progress through the music. In fact, some people say work backwards through the music, because often the hardest bit is the ending. And you get this typical thing where people start to learn a piece and they learn the beginning over and over again. So they can play the opening very easily.
Yeah.
And then by the time they get to the end, they're on the stuff that they haven't spent so much time on.
See, my hope...
Well, I've made that mistake so many times on the piano. When you're learning a piece, you keep going back and going back to the beginning, so you can play the beginning perfect.
Yeah. My Hotel California is like that.
Is it?
I
well, actually, I know it is.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
It's coming along, though.
It is. Thank you. Now, actually, the orchestra yourself, you've recorded CDs. You've done quite a lot of
CDs
stuff.
So far. Latest one last year, which is called As a Flower Blossoms.
And I've got a copy of that here, which is excellent. We're going to take a track from that in just a minute. Who chooses what's on it? Presumably the musical director, does he?
Well, all the music is arranged by Peter Rufer, our musical director, and we're very lucky to have him because he does some splendid arrangements. And it's, as you see, it's the sort of classical right through to modern.
It is. Very good. We're going to take a track from As a Flower Blossoms, which was Pat Metheny, isn't it?
That's right.
We'll take that in just a second. We're going to talk about International Guitar Orchestra Weekend coming up in Cambridge, which is this weekend.
That's correct, yes.
All right, we'll do that in just a second. Dr. Mike Adelsey is with us from the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra. The time's 8:15. We've got a problem out on the M11 this morning. Junction 14, southbound Girton. There is queuing traffic there. There's an earlier incident around Junction 12 at Barton. So just watch out for that. That's the M11 southbound is giving us a bit of jip. That might roll onto the A14, of course, in due course. So just do keep your eyes on that. Talking of the A14, eastbound, still slow going from Junction 24 at Godmanchester through to Junction 26 at St Ives. And the A428 heading towards Cambridge is slow going around the Caxton Gibbet roundabout this morning. On the roadworks, we'll just rattle through the ones we've got for you. Pern Road, of course, at the junction with Birdwood Road. We've got roadworks there throughout the day. Newmarket Road, temporary traffic lights and roadworks there at the junction with Coldham's Lane. Hills Road at the junction with Coronation Street. There's roadworks there. And we've also got out in Landbeach. We've got Landbeach Road at the junction with the High Street. Roadworks there as well. On to the trains. First Capital Connect and Greater Anglia, along with Cross Country, all having a pretty good day, to be honest. No problems with services to or from Cambridge in any direction. If you're heading down towards town, Bakerloo Line, we've got no service between Paddington and Harrow and Wealdstone, with minor delays on the rest of the line due to a fire alert at Queen's Park at the moment. Tickets are being accepted on buses. Piccadilly Line, severe delays due to a trespasser on the track earlier at Hyde Park Corner. They did shoot him then in the end. He's gone, so they shot him. They took my advice. Buses and First Capital Connect are accepting tickets via any reasonable route. And King's Cross St Pancras this morning, there's no step-free access available to the Piccadilly Line due to a faulty lift. That's it. We'll have another update for you around about 8:45 here on Cambridge 105.
Spot something on the roads we're not talking about. Call us hands-free on Cambridge 967 105.
Hello, this is Juliet Stevenson. 2 years of fierce fighting across Syria has forced over 3 million people to flee their homes, half of them children. Today they live in the most basic of temporary shelter. They need food, clean water, blankets and medicines. The DEC has launched an urgent appeal for aid. Please donate online at dec.org.uk, by phone on 0370 60 60 900, or at any high street bank. Thank you.
You didn't see the doctors fighting to keep him alive. You didn't see his wife's face as they turned off his life support machine. You didn't see his kids when they were told their daddy wasn't coming home. You didn't see the church full to bursting at the funeral. But then you didn't see him on his motorbike at the junction when you pulled out. 30 bikers are killed or injured every day at junctions. So drivers think, take longer to look for bikes.
How could you possibly say brighten your days with moans and groans? Hiya, how you doing? It's Kevin Peters, just reminding you to join me Tuesday and Thursday mornings, 9:30 until midday. We've got lots of things on the programme, including the half an hour of the decade. I give you the decade, you tell me the year. We have the coffee break, not forgetting also Sarah with the What's On as well at 11:15. Traffic and travel and a couple of pieces of Motown. And not forgetting the albums of the week as well. That's all here and much more Tuesday. Then Thursday mornings, Cambridge 105, 9:30 until midday. Hope you can join me then.
That was absolutely gorgeous. So that's taken from the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra album As a Flower Blossoms. That was a track from Pat Metheny. Well, not written, or arranged by Pat Metheny. As a Flower Blossoms. Is that right?
It's written by Pat Metheny. It was arranged by
Peter. I've got it right. There you go. I was too busy, to be honest, listening to the music. Yes. That is a lovely track.
Yes. It's lovely.
Beautiful, beautiful piece.
So Julie's just said off air, how many people are actually in the orchestra?
We have about roughly 24 in the orchestra. Numbers vary a little bit up and down depending on time of year and so on, but there's a sort of solid core of players. Who
and do you mostly all play in a piece? Do most people get to play, or are there bits where are there some pieces where people sit out?
The music is pretty well divided up amongst all the players, so nobody's got any really boring sort of plodding along type stuff. There's always something of interest. There'll be something that you can get your teeth into or get your fingers around. And, you know, you'll have to work at.
So if someone was interested in sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, let's be very clear, this isn't me, and it isn't Booth, all right? But if anyone's sitting and thinking about taking part or just seeing if that, what sort of grade levels are you looking at? How experienced should somebody be?
Okay, we generally say about grade 5 or above. Okay. Because there's a certain skill in ensemble playing, and I think if you're below that, you'll be struggling to sort of keep up. But from 5 and above, it that would be about right.
You'd be fairly comfortable with the pieces.
And the other thing is, we have to try and maintain the balance in the orchestra, that we have sort of even part distribution, so that we don't end up with a sort of heavy in the baser parts,
right?
The easier parts, maybe, because. It's quite difficult to maintain that overall balance.
Do people do solos and things? Do you have virtuosos who would...
We do, yeah. Peter plays some really spectacular stuff, Terz guitar, and then we have the guitar ones. I'm thinking in particular.
He's got a program, eh? Here we go. There's stuff coming up. I'll talk about this in a second.
Let me just... Lydia Hepworth, she plays some outstanding pieces for the orchestra. She's one of the guitar ones, and she's, you know, trained musician. Yeah. She's studied MA music. And so we've got some very dedicated players who put hours and hours and hours and hours of practice in.
And it looks so easy when you put in all those hours and hours of practice, doesn't it?
We hope so. The impression is that you come and listen to us and it all sounds so easy. But behind that, it's the ducks, you know, the legs going under the water.
Yeah.
Having said that, as someone who's just at the strumming stage, though, the guitar is actually remarkably easy to pick up and play, isn't it?
Can build on it very easily. You know, you can start quite simply, learn a few chords, learn to arpeggiate the chords, and then, you know, suddenly it sounds really quite good.
Yes. I can sort of see a path ahead, even at my, you know, stumpy finger stage. Actually, do you know what? I'm kind of getting the hang of it a bit. It's coming along.
I think I would recommend getting a good guitar teacher, because they can sort of target the right pieces of music for you to have a look at. And then you can sort of slowly progress rather than diving straight into Rodrigo's guitar concerto.
That's not on my repertoire right this minute, let's be very clear. Tell us about the coming weekend then. Quite exciting, quite busy times for you, I'd guess.
Yes, well, the Guitar Orchestra has been very lucky in the past, because we've had trips abroad to France and Belgium. And now it's Cambridge's turn to host orchestras coming here. We have Guitarist Son, who are an orchestra from just south of Paris, coming over, and also Allegria, guitar ensemble from Belgium, who will also be joining us this weekend. That's this weekend. And we're going to be doing two public performances, as well as sort of playing and having lectures and talking to each other and sort of joint music making. There'll be two public performances. The first is going to be on the Saturday at 4 p.m. at St. Luke's Church, Victoria Road, Cambridge.
Okay.
Which should be very nice. All three orchestras will be playing. And then another concert on the Sunday, but that's a different time, 11 a.m., at the Round Church, Street.
Oh, we like there, don't we?
Now, we practice there. It's a beautiful acoustic.
It's lovely.
It's really something nice. Special, that place, isn't it?
And we're doing a very memorable piece. It's a piece called Suma by Arvo Part, arranged by Peter Ufa. It was originally, I believe, a choral or strings piece, but Peter has arranged it for the three guitar orchestras together.
Good Lord.
So we're going to have the orchestras.
60-odd guitarists.
59. 59
guitars. Oh, good guess.
Going to be arranged in three choirs spread around the round church, so it should be very
memorable.
That's
going to be amazing.
Yeah, because it's not actually... Yeah. That big, the round church, so that is going to be a lot of people in there. And the audience, presumably.
We have a conductor who's going to be trying to keep everybody together, and there's a problem with the sight line.
There's quite a lot of pillars in there, isn't there? Yeah.
You were saying off air as well, that track that we played, you were saying that was recorded in a church. It just lends itself to the acoustic.
Western Church, up on the hill over towards Stevenage.
Oh, right.
Western is, they've got a very active music society there, Western Music Society, and they have some of the really top guitarists and guitar groups going to record at Western Church.
How amazing.
It's so out the way, it's up a hill, it's far from the noise, and they go there to record their new CDs. And there's periodically very, very good concerts on up there.
It's worth keeping your eye on the local press on that one, just at the back of Baldock and Letchworth.
Very good. I've seen some absolutely top players there.
Amazing. Well, we're very lucky in Cambridge with the music scene in Cambridge. Yeah, yeah. So just remind us again of those concert dates, and what else can we see? Where else can people go and see the guitar orchestra, just the Cambridge one as well as the international stuff?
Okay, the Saturday, St Luke's Church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Sunday, 21st, Round Church, Bridge Street at 11 a.m.
And tickets on this, or how's it done?
Well, the Saturday concert is tickets, £10, £8 concessions, and free for under 16s, I think it is, if I've remembered correctly.
Sounds about right.
and that's in the sort of luxurious space of St Luke's Church. We have more space to spread out there. In the Round Church, now that is actually a free concert, free entry, but there's a retiring collection for the church.
Sounds great.
For the church.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
But again, a little bit restricted on space there, but as I say, we hope for an amazing sound in that beautiful acoustic.
We are around on Sunday.
Yes, I think we are, aren't we? Shall I look at my diary?
I think you need to get the file of faxes out on this one.
Okay,
and if people want to find out more about the Guitar Orchestra, the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, Mike?
Okay, well, we have a website, so if they go and have a look at www.cgo.org.uk.
Oh, that's so easy to do, isn't it? People are thinking, how do you spell guitar? CGO. Yeah. CGO.org.uk.
All the information is there, what concerts are on. Details about the orchestra, the guitars, who made the guitars, that sort of stuff.
Okay, and the albums, you can find out about the CDs on there as well.
Yeah, if you want to buy an album, we've got three albums. The latest, as I say, was released last year, and £10 each, I believe they are. But there might be a bit of adjustment for postage.
Oh, that's fine.
Will these be on sale at the concerts as
they
well?
They will.
Yeah.
We will have
take
some.
Take £10?
Take it, yeah, at least. Well, you at need least. Three. If there's three albums, there's three.
Oh, that's
I think the other two may have run out by now, actually, because they were recorded a few years ago.
Okay, so let's have another track off the current one, which is As a Flower Blossoms. This, you say, is from the Holberg Suite? This is
the Holberg Suite by Grieg.
And this is Preludium?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're listening to Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Neil and Julie. That's the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, a track from their album As a Flower Blossoms. That was Preludium from the Holberg Suite, arranged by Peter Ruffer.
It's originally Grieg's piece.
Very nice indeed. Yes. And if you want to hear more, then we've got two concerts in Cambridge. Mike, just remind us of the International Guitar Orchestra concerts this weekend.
Yep, St Luke's on Saturday at 4 p.m. and the Round Church in Cambridge on Sunday at 11 a.m. I forgot to mention, on Sunday we've got a premier performance of a solo piece by Gerard Cousins. He's going to do a piece he's written and will be performing called Cantus Tintinnabulus. I think I've got that correct.
Tintinnabulus. That's a mouthful.
It's a homage to Arvo Part, so it sort of continues the Arvo Part theme. So he's coming specially to play that for us. That'll be a treat as well.
It sounds excellent. Mike, thank you for taking time out and coming in to see us this morning.
Yes, thank
that
you,
website,
Mike.
That website again for the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, cgo.org.uk?
cgo.org.uk.
There we go. I've got that one written down. Mike, it's been lovely to meet you. Good luck with it this weekend.
We'll see you at the orchestra in a short period of time.
Don't hold your breath. That's Dr. Mike Adelsey. He's from the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, and you can find out all about this weekend's International Guitar Orchestra weekend here in Cambridge at cgo.org.uk.